Hello, I'm Hattie Ashdown and I host the Funny Mummies podcast, but I thought I'd just pop on before the episode starts to let you know about a campaign I launched where I was asking for any businesses, particularly women of course, who would like to sponsor an episode for free, therefore supporting each other. So for this episode, we have got Careering Into Motherhood. So listen to this audio and find out about all the real stuff they do.
If 2020 has got you reevaluating your career or thinking about going back to work, but it just all feels a bit overwhelming right now, then Careering Into Motherhood may be able to help you. First up, you can join the Careering Into Motherhood group over on Facebook, where you'll find 7,000 awesome mums who understand and are ready and willing to help you. And then why not take a look at our website, where you'll find details of all our coaching programmes, online events and our own podcast. Just head to www.careeringintomotherhood.com, where motherhood and ambition happily coexist.
If you would like to feature as a free sponsor on a future Funny Mummies episode, please get in touch via screamingwithlaughter.com or find us on Instagram at Funny Mummies Podcast and DM us. And don't forget, you can also support the podcast on our patreon.com Funny Mummies Podcast and buy us a coffee. And let me also take this time to tell you that I am out performing live again, so you can keep comedy alive. If you've got a baby, you can bring them along to Scream with Laughter the last Wednesday of every month at the Bedford in Balham, London. But if you prefer to come out in the evening, I am doing a new residency with the fabulous Nice and Spiky at the Stanley Halls in Norwood, and that's the first Friday of every month. So let's get on with this episode, and it's another in our short series talking to our guests specifically about their experiences of birth. In this episode, I talk to the French and fabulous comedian and mum Ariel Soumer as we go back to the 90s when Ariel had her son. Just a small trigger warning as we talk about Ariel's son's temporary breathing problems at birth. But don't worry, he was and is fine. In fact, he's a strapping 23-year-old man today. So grab your boot cuts, pull them up if you can, as we go back to the 90s. Enjoy. This is the Funny Mummies podcast, the podcast for people that hate parenting podcasts. I'm Hattie Ashdown, comedian, writer, actress, and mother to two very lively boys. Each show, I'm joined by funny mummies from the world of comedy, arts, and everyone who can help us in this crazy world of parenting. So settle in as we find the funny side of parenting and being bloody great women. Oh, there's no other way to start a show than a bit of Nina Simone, is there really? You're listening to The Funny Mummies on Soho Radio for The Other Women Show. I'm Hattie Ashdown, your host for the next hour, and I have a guest who I'm going to bring on in a second. I hope you're all doing all right. This is part of our series of we thought we'd do a short series of birth stories, birth experiences of our guests. And we'll talk about lots of other things to do with comedy and parenting and being bloody great women, because that's what we do. So I hope you're all right out there. My guest today, she's described on her website as both French and fabulous, and an award-winning stand-up comic and hard-working single mum. She's based in South London. Frankie Boyle said of her, "She is just what the comedy industry needs and should be forced upon every audience until they buckle under her spell." What a quote. I know myself, if you try and get a quote from someone and they're doing a crappier one, you're like, oh yeah, thanks, I've got to use that now. Please welcome Ariel Soumer.
Yay, thank you for having me.
Actually, I'm still only allowed, because we are actually in the Soho studio, we're only allowed one guest, so it's just us two, but I'm kind of enjoying the one-to-one.
It's better. I don't like people.
You don't
like... So
that's...
That's perfect.
That's perfect. It's why you do stand-up.
Well...
it's just you on stage, isn't it?
It's just me, exactly. And people in front tend to scare. So I'm like it. I'm liking it.
Is that why you like stand-up, you think? The control of just like you and the microphone...
I think it's just fun. It gives me something to do. And I don't know. I like to make people laugh. And I'm surprised every time they laugh. I'm like, is that funny? Really funny? I don't know.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Some people sometimes laugh and I don't understand what I've done.
Yeah. You're just what my mum would call funny bones, you see? Funny bones. You're naturally funny. But let's get to more of that. So we do a little fun sort of... multiple choice type thing. Not multiple choice, you've got two choices. Quick fire round. Just a nice little fun way of getting to know you. So for example, would you be a wine or coffee person? Wine or coffee?
Damn. None of it.
None of it. Oh, you can say that.
Okay. I thought it was only two choices.
Oh, yeah. You're allowed to say none, though.
Well, if I have to have something to be coffee, then...
Yeah.
And then,
wine or tea then?
Tea.
Okay. Are you leggings or jeans?
Both.
Both. Okay. This is going well. early night or lay-in?
Early night or laying? You mean laying like sleeping
would
on the
bed?
Would
you rather get an early... Would you rather go to bed early? Or would you... or would you rather just be able to just lay in as long as you can?
Okay, I don't like those questions because really it depends on the context.
Yeah. But you just have to like not think about it.
Early night.
Okay, so I don't know if you can remember, but because I know your child is an adult, but tantrums or teething, which one would you rather deal with?
Tantrum.
Really?
Yes, because tantrum, teething is not his fault. Tantrum is getting punished for this shit.
Welcome, Ariel Suma, to the show. And so we are going to go back to 1997 for this birth. Wow, a 90s birth. Mm. A 90s birth. So do you want to tell us... the story of, not story of getting pregnant, but...
So that's what it was about. Gosh.
So, yeah, so you're pregnant in 90, was it planned?
It was planned. My friend was pregnant and I'm like, oh my gosh, I wanted to have a child too.
Oh, really?
Don't know why. It was something in my head like, by 19, I should have a child. No idea.
Yeah.
And I was 20. So I'm like, oh my gosh. My plans is just going down. And then my friend, who's a girl, okay, she got pregnant. And I'm like, oh, she can't do it. I can do it because I'm better than her. So,
really?
Yes. So I was with this guy at that time. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to have him. I know he wasn't going to stay with me. I wasn't going to stay with him mostly. Yes. But, you know, why not? Strong sperm donor. That's fine. Beautiful teeth, because I've got something about teeth. So,
so
I was
too.
Just all during pregnancy and even before pregnancy was like, if I got a child, I want him to be very specific, you know. I want him to be dark skin, beautiful hair, beautiful eyes, beautiful teeth and healthy and a good heart. Yes. And I got all of this. And
but feet, you can have terrible feet.
Yeah. No. But his feet is all right as well. But I should have asked, you know. I didn't know much about babies and kids.
Yeah.
I should have had up not being a prick. And I forgot this.
You forgot that you have
so
to
I've
deal
got
with...
a healthy prick. Great.
Well, let's go back a bit before we find out more about the healthy prick. But your birth story, I mean... back in the 90s, I'm thinking my sister's got similar age kids to you, and so I'm remembering. I'm just thinking about that actually. But what was your? Was it? Did you have a birth plan? Did you
birth plan? Not really. It was
did you
just
like classes? Did you do any classes or anything like that?
Oh please! I'm like, what the hell is this? I don't understand it. Sorry, ladies who are listening, if you like to plan things, fine. But I don't think that helped. For me, it's just like. Things gonna happen, It might hurt, it might not hurt. I just want drugs.
You just want drugs?
That's what's my plan, just drugs.
All the drugs, please.
All the drugs.
So can you take us back to the... So did you have contractions at home? Did your water break at home? What happened?
Okay, wow, that's a bit complicated. What happened is my boy was late, as I said. He was late. To 1 week and a half. And so there was like thinking about inducing a birth. And suddenly, I don't know, I was laying down and I felt like going to the loo. Every 2 seconds, you know, and I'm like, this is not normal. Is that the way people lose their water? And then at one point I look down, I'm like, no, that's just water. What is it? But no contraction, nothing. So I'm like, I'm going to go to the hospital because I'm late already and things. So I went, I took the bus and...
You got the bus.
Yes, I had no choice at that time. And the nurse asked me if I had the contraction. No. I don't know who was that woman, but I mean, every birth is different. Mm. And she's like, no, there should be contraction and, you know, and they check and nothing. So they sent me home and I went home and in the birth, I was starting to have pain in my belly, but I didn't know what it was really, just pain, never mind. You know, at the end of pregnancy, you got a lot of pain all the time. So
yeah, you can't.
So I went home, but at one point the pain was just... too much, and a friend told me, no, go back to the hospital. And it's been like maybe two, three hours. And I went there, and yeah, the contraction was really getting there. And it turned out, then they gave me this, how do you call it? They wanted me to, naturally, ambulance came for me. Yes.
Oh.
Ambulance came for me. They gave me this gas. You know, oxygen.
Oh, the gas and air.
Yeah. And you know, I watch TV, right? And it's supposed to make me laugh and shit.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't laughing. I'm like, what kind of shit is this? You know, I don't believe TV anymore.
You were like, on TV, on Holby City, they're having the gas and air and they're laughing their head off.
Yes. So.
And it just made, made you feel?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. So, went to the hospital. They were getting their, whoever... doctor to inject me with, you know, you have to wait 3 centimeters to get the injection.
What injection?
The
epidural.
Epidural. Yes. So I think your cervix has to be
you
open
have to be
by
like,
three.
Yeah, before, three or four.
Yes, three.
Yeah.
So it wasn't there yet. So pain, and so I said, oh, take a bath, and I don't know what happened. It looks like I was a bit dumb. So I prepared the bath and I put more water than, because when you put a mass into the water go up, right?
Yeah.
And I was a big mass. So the water overflowed and there was some all over the floor and everything. And I remember the face of the nurses, like, that bitch is really annoying.
Oh, no.
I felt so bad, but damn, you know what I mean? And eventually I got my epidural from, I think, a trainee doctor.
Right.
So he missed me 5 times. Seriously, pissed off.
It's really, if anyone's listened to this series and they haven't given birth yet, I think maybe they probably won't after this series, but they have to get it. You have to be really still and I had it on my second birth. You have to get it in a particular, I was lucky. He was spot on straight away.
Yeah. What about the first birth? You did it?
Well, people can go back and listen to that, but in another episode. But I didn't have epidural for the first one.
Mm.
I had a spinal. It's different injection. It's okay. Like epidural. Long story, but it's a spine injection, which basically just, it was amazing. It just cut all pain, which you have when you have cesarean, but it's different to epidural.
Okay.
But so epidural for you then? Was that like heaven, or did you?
No, it was. I couldn't feel anything. And so I was just, after the epidural, yes, obviously.
So your contractions had started now and you're in...
Yeah, it was fine. I could feel a little, you know, it was fine.
Were they quite spaced out? Was you able to have breathe in between? And
they were quite spaced out at the beginning. I don't remember.
I know, much, I'm know, asking you to like, go back.
Please, no.
To time and Spice Girls.
Yes. But at that time, it was fine after the spirit. I mean, I could handle the pain. There were no pain early. And then they check inside you all the time. And you know what? Before birth, you're always wondering, oh my God, it's a bit shameful. Someone's always checking between your legs.
Oh, yeah.
But this time, you don't care.
You don't care.
Don't have no pride, nothing. People know what you've been doing.
Yeah.
You know, you're pregnant, so hello, bitch. And Here we go.
And you have all the trainees come in. They say, oh, do you mind if... and I'm like, yeah, let them all in.
Yeah.
Let them all in. I mean, I would advise this to anyone, actually, because I loved having the trainees in, because I was like, it's somebody in the room. Because sometimes, I remember there were some points where I was on my own and I'm like, ah, I need help. But if you've got the trainees, they're in there the whole time. They can go and get you water or whatever. More drugs. Yeah,
as long as they don't take pictures, it's no. Okay, isn't it? But I remember now, 20 years old back in the 90s, I wasn't really shaving down there.
No.
I might have been a proper mess. I don't care. But I was there laying on my bed, and eventually they come and they check the, you know, how things goes with the drugs. Oh, you're getting ready, so we're going to go down with the drug so you can feel the contraction a bit more. I'm like, no.
You couldn't feel the contraction?
Yeah, so you can't push them. Like, no. No, leave that thing there.
Yeah.
No, they were not listening to me. So eventually contraction was coming up again harder and they asked me to push and all this nonsense.
All this nonsense.
Yeah. And,
what, did you have a birthing partner? Was someone there with you at this point?
No, no. And I couldn't stand the dad, but he wasn't there. I think he was getting things ready because right. We're not really ready for the baby or whatever.
Yeah.
Thinking that he's over a week and a half late. Hello.
The yeah. thing is, people, you know, there's this whole thing of like, oh, who's going to be in the birth, stuff like that. But actually, one comic who does this show a lot with me, Gemma Beagley, she talked about like she got to a point where her husband was just annoying her. And actually, the midwife said, asked him to leave the room and asked everyone, you know, and I think maybe her mum was like, just said, everyone get out the room. And I'm like, my husband was quite great, but this sounds awful now. I'm going to say I could have done it without him. But I just think, like, you have this romantic idea that, like, you're going to be there holding hands, stuff like that. But it's not like that. My sister bit her husband's hand, like, properly bit through his hand. And maybe, you know, maybe there's something in the 1940s idea of, like, just, you know, burrowing down and getting on with it yourself. Because people around can just be annoying.
Yeah. I know. I remember him coming in and out sometime, but I didn't care about him anyway.
Yeah.
And I was just chilling without drugs. Because I don't take drugs. It was my first time I was taking drugs.
What an introduction.
So, yeah. And I don't think I can get epidural in the street.
No.
No.
Shame, isn't it?
Damn. It was a good drug.
Yeah, it is. Well, I had epidural the second time. And actually, again, sorry to bore people who've already listened to the show. But I'm telling Ariel for the first time. The epidural didn't work for me. And this is a thing that, sorry to tell you, but people don't talk about it a lot, but it doesn't work for everybody. So it worked a bit. It was like having a really strong painkiller, but I could still feel a lot. I could feel the head. I could feel everything. And I was like, oh, I can still feel the head. And she's like, yeah, that's normal. But afterward, like, my husband said, I think they just say that to calm you, because otherwise I could have freaked out.
Did you feel, you know, I didn't feel nothing.
Oh, beautiful.
Didn't feel nothing. So that's good. Because I lied a bit when I said, oh, do you feel the contraction now?
Yeah.
Lied. I'm like, yeah, because I wanted that drug still in me.
Yeah.
You know, so I was not really feeling it.
So you managed to push him out.
Yeah, pushing is.
Even though you couldn't feel the contraction.
Yeah.
They just told you when to push.
I don't remember.
You don't remember?
No, I know I pushed, the thing came out, the baby.
The thing.
They had problems because that head was big.
It was a big head.
It was a big head.
I had big heads.
So they told me later that, no, they cut me. So, but, you know, again.
Do you know how much he weighs? Can you remember that?
I don't know in pound, but it was over 4 kilo, which is a big
is
baby.
That in pound? I don't know what that is in pounds.
Yeah. Sorry, I've got a nap
we'll
there.
Do a converter.
Yes. And and they took him and I'm like, okay, again, I watch TV, the baby's supposed to cry.
Yeah.
No crying. I was like, is it a boy, is it a girl? They did not answer. And to just take the baby, put it on the table next to me, I'm like, okay, this is not going well.
Right.
I mean, hello, I've done my research, I watch TV.
Yeah.
And nothing happened and they were just on him. And suddenly, his head was towards me and he opened his big eyes and he saw me. I was the first thing he saw. And I'm like, oh my God. And then everything was fine, you know, they gave it to me. They didn't tell me that he was stillborn first.
Wow.
You know, that's why he didn't cry or nothing.
Oh,
and
really?
Yeah, everything started making sense later on, you know, because they took him. I knew there was something wrong with the boy. Because, okay, I fed him and gave him my breast and all those things. And that shit hurts, by the way. And yeah, don't get it. But anyway.
What, breastfeeding hurt, you mean?
Yeah, it does hurt at the beginning.
It can, yeah, when the milk's coming in and well, yeah. Again, that's another topic. But, yeah,
it can hurt.
It didn't hurt me at the beginning. Did it hurt at the beginning then for
yeah,
you?
The way, you know, the nurse took my breast and shoved it in the baby.
Don't they?
And I'm like, okay, that's a bit weird again. Why are you touching my breast? But never mind.
So when they took him away, you think they were sort of like giving him resuscitation then?
No, not resurrection when they took him. It was just next to me. So, but I didn't know that until I start complaining, like, listen, there's something wrong with the baby.
Because
He was always crying. And I was in a room where there were other babies. You know, they cry, you give them the breast or whatever. And then he sleep, and mine never sleep. So I said, listen, nurse, something wrong with the baby. He doesn't sleep. And so they took him. And you know when you got a baby, everyone, I mean, they tell you, oh, be careful with the nurses or whatever. Make sure they're proper nurses because they can steal your baby.
Did they?
Yeah. There was things, you know, I read some stuff. So they took him and it lasted like an hour. I'm like, where's the baby? I was starting panicking.
That's a long time.
I didn't know that baby, but I liked him.
Yeah.
Right? So that's
why I have to make another one.
Oh, my gosh. No. So I was happy with this one. And when they took him, they left a file on my bed saying, do not hand it over to patient.
Dun, oh, dun.
Dun, dun. So what did I do? I read it.
Of course you did.
Hello?
Any sane woman would.
Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, everything makes sense. He was stillborn. That's how I learned he was stillborn.
That's the words that were written.
Yes. Wow. They put resurrection. So resurrection means dead. Before.
Right. So he stopped breathing.
Yes.
Wow.
So, and then it makes sense, like, you know the story about my how I lost my water?
No.
Where, like, I was always peeing.
Yeah.
I actually lost my water.
Oh,
but not in the what you see on TV, like, it was little by little. Exactly. So the nurses over there, they never heard about that.
Ah.
As a result, for over 3 hours, that baby wasn't protected.
Right, that's why when you, again, for anyone who don't know, when you break your waters, they're like, okay, come in, let's get things going, you're getting juiced and
exactly
stuff. Because yeah, oh.
So baby wasn't protected, so all anything could happen to that baby, and things happen, obviously no oxygen, nothing. The boy died inside me.
Wow.
And so I was reading all those things. I'm like, oh my gosh. And they keep on asking me, did he poo yet? Did he poo yet? I'm like, no, he didn't poo. And when I read this, I'm like, actually, they wrote it in there that he was born with, he ate some of his own poo.
Oh yeah, they do that.
So why are you asking me if he poo, if you knew he already poo, you know what I mean, inside me or whatever, in his own face? I don't know what he's done. But
being a prick, even then.
Gosh, so annoying.
let's go back to the 1997 and let's pretend it's that time and Natalie and Boulier was in the charts.
Yes.
With a very aptly song, Torn. There we go. You'll listen to the Funny Mummies on Soho Radio for the Other Woman Show. There we go, Natalie and Boulier and Torn, which is I'm Hattie Ashdown, and I'm talking to Ariel Sumer, and we're talking about birth stories. Yeah. So that song was not just because maybe she might have been torn.
I think it was 7 or 8 stitches.
Oh,
yeah, big head.
That's quite good. I don't know what's good. I mean, some people go, I only had one stitch and all. So
it just means that it was a big head, really. But anyway, I wasn't feeling.
Didn't care.
It was out. Yeah, it was out. But here we go. But that baby was just so much. Pregnancy was horrible.
Oh, you didn't enjoy your pregnancy?
No. I mean, some people love being pregnant and everything. But me, I was sick for 7 months. So
do you think you had that? Oh, what's it called? Beginning with G, that condition. There's a condition, isn't there, that
I don't know what it was, but I didn't enjoy it. I was scared to go outside because I felt like vomiting or spitting, and I think it's disgusting. I didn't enjoy it at all. But in my head, like, if it makes my baby strong, I'll go through it. But never again.
Never again. And that's why you shut the shop at one?
Yeah, that's it. It's too much stress. Like, I had my baby, he nearly died, and then I didn't have milk for 3 days. That's why he was crying. And so he had infection, and then he was dehydrated because I didn't have the milk on time.
Mm.
And then they had to put a tube through his nose, through his stomach, and I'm like, this is my baby. It looks broken, you know? And my mum came and from France, and I wasn't well. I mean, I was nearly crying. Then look at my baby. You could see his little face. I mean, little face, had a big head. So his big head with a tube and stuff, and it was horrible to look. And she said, "Oh well, welcome to motherhood."
Did she?
Yeah, and you always stress for your kid. That's what it is.
Was she able to look after you at all? Was she able to stay?
She looked after me, and she showed me a bit, to give him food, not whenever he cries, regulation, like every four hours or 3 hours. And, you know, as a new mom, and you see your baby crying, you want to make sure he's okay. She's like, no, give it to me. You rest. And she's a bit deaf, or I don't know, she doesn't care. And she would just let him cry. Okay.
Wow.
But it did work. I think it's a good thing. But you need to have someone strong to make sure that it happens.
Well, there's so many different, I don't know what you call it, techniques now, isn't there? I mean, I think, I know my mum's generation. Yeah, it was just like when they're first born, feed every 2 hours or 3 hours. And that was what they did. And then, of course, now there's different theories.
It depends also if you take breasts or not. I mean, I gave him the breasts when he eventually come, just for 1 week, because he looked like I had so much suddenly. And he, at one point, he just like struggled. It's like he had too much and he nearly died again. I'm like, I went outside, buy some bottle thing.
Got the bottles.
And from there, you can really regulate every four. You know what he's taking.
Yeah.
Because the breasts, you don't know. You don't have transparent breasts. I don't know about you.
No.
But
actually, I did, Suma.
You see the level going?
Yeah. So he's 23 now.
Yeah, healthy.
Mm-hmm. Lovely boy.
Yeah, still a prick, but it's lovely.
Bit of a prick.
Yeah. Things don't change.
So how did, let's jump a bit. When did you get into comedy then? What age was he when you got into comedy?
I think he was 17, 18, yes.
He was 17, 18?
Yes.
Right. Okay. And how did that come about? I was like, to find out
Did you have
a background in performing or?
No, I did for a course. I didn't have no background at all.
Good old course.
I did drama when I was like 15 and I loved it. That's what I wanted to do. But a friend said, no, do comedy. I'm like, why? No, you'd be great. You're French.
She's obviously
I'm like, what do you mean? Anyway, I learned the course and I loved it. Writing my own thing and being whoever I want to be and saying whatever I want to say.
Ah.
And I loved it. And I thought I was good. Until you go to the showcase and you listen to your tape. You're like, oh my God, I was so shit. First gig, you're like, yes, I done it. Then you're God, terrible.
I remember. Yes, you just reminded me. I forgot about that. Yeah, that listening back. I think I still have that sometimes. Where I think, yeah, that was good. Do you always get it right? Like this? Okay, how can I explain this? So sometimes I feel like I come out and I feel like, oh, that went quite well. But then you listen back and then you go, oh, she doesn't sound so good now. Or like I've had gigs where I'm like, oh, I feel quite good. And then someone's come up to you and not said you were crap, but they were like, I can tell that they think I didn't do very well. Mm. And do you feel it when you do well?
I'm very hard with myself.
Yeah.
So I would be my worst critics, really. When I know what I want to do and I didn't do it like that, it doesn't matter how many love I got if I'm not happy with it.
But, oh, really?
Unlike you, no one comes to me because I look scary. So no one's going to tell me shit.
Yeah, no, luckily no one told me I was shit. But just like, in comedy, there's maybe I shouldn't tell you this, but there's certain things that people say, and it's a code for kind of like, that wasn't very good. So this is what I'll say. So this one is, did you enjoy that? Have you heard that expression?
I heard it, but not to my face.
Good. Oh, that means you've never had a bad gig.
I did, but...
But then people have said it to me, and I'm like, do they know that code, or... Oh, they just genuinely don't know what else to say. And I hate it. I hate it. Did you enjoy that? I'm like, don't say that. Yeah, maybe I thought I had. But and listen to these podcasts sometimes. I come out and I was like, oh, I don't know if that one was very good. And I listen back. I'm like, that was really good. Why did I not, you know. Maybe I have no self-awareness, Ariel. I thought I did.
Maybe, but maybe that's part of your charm, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. But, I'm a bit like you were saying off air. Sometimes I do something funny and people laugh and you go, what are you laughing at? So we're just clowns.
Yes, a bit sad, but...
Sad clowns.
I'll take it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's an expression I heard once, which you either walk into the door funny, walk through the door funny, or you walk through the door saying something funny or something like that. Anyway.
I have got no idea, but my son came to see... one of my gig, and he didn't enjoy it. Not because it wasn't funny,
right?
But I was talking about sex, and it makes him uncomfortable.
Oh, of course.
I'm like, seriously. So
you knew he was there, didn't you?
Yeah. And since then, he said no. And I have to tell him, listen, you can come to this one. I will do a clean set or whatever.
Right.
But also, he's not really interested in what I do. He's happy if I'm doing well. But there we go.
He just want to know. So he's only been to one gig, and that was it. He doesn't.
Yes.
But does he think it's cool to have a mum doing stand-up?
Yeah, he likes it. He's proud of his mum.
Yeah.
He's very proud of this mum.
Oh.
So I'm happy. And when I wrote some joke about him, because before I didn't want to.
Right.
I mean, I had some, but I was like, you know, there's so many women talk about their kids, and it needs to be different.
Yes.
You see what I mean? The pissed off mum, the whatever. Yeah, so I need to bring something on. And suddenly I did, and it worked. And I'm like, oh my God, I didn't think it was that funny.
Right.
You know, because I did already work hard on that joke. But it worked very well. So
yeah.
I told Jordan, so I told him the set of joke about him. And he laughed. My son never laughed at my jokes. And I'm like, no, Mom, that's very good. I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah.
I did it.
I know what you mean. You'd want to, I always try to be quiet. Because a lot of people, I'm not going to name names, but years and years and years ago, I remember seeing a comic and she just really moaned about her kid. And I was like, I want to be really, you know, positive, but it's really hard to be comedy positive. So it doesn't always work. But like you say, just try and give a different perspective, because otherwise there's that feeling of people going, well, why did you blooming have them then if you're just going to moan about them? But
yes.
Yeah.
I think mine is different because now my boy is big. A lot of ladies comedian, their kids are still little.
Yes.
So, yeah, they've got cute joke and, you know, but mine is big. And
but
so
you've got a unique
thing.
Perspective then, haven't you? And particularly if you're doing gigs to any young people, then you've got that perspective as well. You can... No?
Yeah, it's fun, but, I don't have any special audience, you know what
yeah.
I mean? I just go on and see if they like me.
You was talking to Esther about hosting, and she's only done it a few times, but you host a lot, don't you? Is that your favourite, would you say?
It's different.
It's different, isn't it? It's different skill.
It's different skills, and you need to get a quick link with the audience quite quickly. You know what I mean? So, but now I've done it more, so I'm more relaxed. Before I was like, oh, I'm going to say this, I'm going to say that.
Right.
I've got a bit of list like, oh, let's talk about this and that. But otherwise, it's just trying to be friendly and still be me. Because,
right.
Okay, I'm not that friendly to people I don't know. So those people are there, they want to have fun. I'm not going to be a dick. I am a bit, but that's...
So you do talk to... So what's your sort of techniques, would you say? Because, I mean, a lot of people argue that all hosts should talk to the audience.
I like to talk to the audience, but I like to show them, look, I'm nice girl, but also I've got this persona that don't fuck with me, you know?
Perfect.
So it's kind of good, like when people start messing around or being too noisy, I'm not afraid to say, you know what, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
You know, if people hate, I'm used to people hating me, but it's true that when you're hosting, you don't want the atmosphere to go down too much. So the people need to be with you.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'd be patient. I would be like, you know what, can you calm down there or whatever, how it feels at that time.
How do you deal with, I think, I hate it if an MC, and I MC a lot, and I probably have been guilty of it in the past, and but like if they're not laughing very much at everyone, you know, the whole night, and they're just quite quiet, and I don't like it when people are going, oh, this is going terrible, isn't it? Da-da-da-da. And it's just, have you experienced
that? Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not just you, because even if you can't, the act who are very
good. Yeah, you can't, no one can get
it's
them
just,
going.
It's just like that. So you just go on and try to finish the night as soon as possible.
Let's just wrap this up here.
Yeah, make a bigger break. Okay. This not going well. They're obviously not here for comedy.
Yeah.
So
I think it's just, I try not to, it's really hard because it's a bit like patting your head. I don't know. It feels like doing opposite to what you're getting back. So I try to sort of go, well, you are blooming lovely. You know, I try to sort of like fight it, like hate with love kind of thing, and go, you are lovely. So I think I'm going to try and turn them around. It doesn't always work, Ariel. No. But we just, you know, people don't realize the hard job we have. But at the moment, people are very.
But what I try to do, when they come in, I'm trying to make sure that they're already happy. They know me somehow. So I try to be at the door and smile and, you know, try to, hey, how are you? You can sit here. You know what I mean? So we got already a first contact.
That's nice.
And then they see me on stage. Oh, that's that nice girl, because I'm nice at the door.
Right. Right.
So they feel a bit more relaxed already because they already had a first contact with me. So I can do that to smaller gig. But
have you done Edinburgh a lot?
I've done it in a way that I went to watch or done some sport. I didn't have a solo show or any shows because I'm very busy. I don't have no one to look after me and my kids. Money is very, you know what I mean? I don't have a husband, I don't have family, nothing.
But so, that can be good for that. It's for those that don't know, you're a lot of the time, even some of the biggest acts, you have to fly your own show. And although it can be bloody exhausting, I would like stand and I'm chatting away. And then, yeah, they come to the show and they go, oh, it's us. You know, we were talking to you outside. You know, do you remember we were talking to you about the... And I'm like, yeah, hi. Talk to about a million people today, but yeah, but make them special.
I was supposed to do Edinburgh this year, but so next year, which I think give me another opportunity, because I was part of the AAA, so I wanted to do like first. I don't like stress. Okay, I like comedy, but I don't like to be stressed out.
No,
so
you Edinburgh Festival then.
You know, so I said, let's do just make sure someone else is dealing with the PR and all
yeah.
the things.
Oh, that's nice.
That's fine.
Yeah,
and then. Eventually, I bring my own show. But then I'm like, you know what? I like to go on holiday and not in Edinburgh. So this COVID since give me more opportunity to work on my solo show.
Oh,
so hopefully next year I will do AAA and have my solo show. And then I will never do Edinburgh again. That's my plan.
You might fall in love with it. I personally, there are stressful parts to it. But I personally, I love it. I bloody love it. And I think just everything about it. It's a busman's holiday, and yeah, there's stressful parts of it because you're performing every day, but you try to tell yourself if you've had a terrible day, you've had a terrible gig, or just you're just exhausted and tired, you can just go back out and do it again tomorrow.
It's true. I will see how it goes anyway, but I'm just thinking
I reckon
money.
You'll get the bug, but it's the money.
It's
the money,
because when all this money, I could be on the beach,
yeah,
somewhere, and as a black woman. I'm a black woman. I don't have the voice of a black woman. But I'm a black woman, and I need the sun. It does something to me.
Oh, we all need it. A bit of vitamin D.
Yeah, it makes me stronger.
Well,
because black people go through a lot.
Just go for the...
Black life matter.
We do. You do. We do? You? Oh, God, sorry. They certainly do matter. And I was going to say, you didn't... Because it's been documented that a lot of... black women get not very well treated in birth in hospitals. That wasn't something that you experienced then, that from staff or anything like that.
Well, I had some bad looks, but I really didn't care. It wasn't that bad.
No.
I think I had other issues. My son died, and then he nearly died again. I mean, it's like, come on, this boy. So he's very strong. Sometimes when he's sad, he was little, and I would say, you know what, Jordan, you're a strong boy. You will get through it. You were dead. And you got resurrected.
Oh, I was going to say, he is the second coming.
Exactly. And then, you know, I told him the story of his birth, and it makes him stronger and he's happy.
Aww.
And because I say that with love, that, listen, you went through birth and you were dead. Seriously, you're dead, you'll say. And so, you know, he can do it. Come on.
Come on.
As a baby, he managed to survive. He ate his own poo and shit.
You ate shit to get into this life.
Exactly.
So
you can handle it.
And anything. Okay, we're gonna wrap up now. We normally ask, but we have to do it quite quickly. We normally ask your perfect, well, for you, you don't need a babysitter. So normally it would be, I'm gonna give you a free night's babysitting and you can do whatever you like with your child being taken away, but of course he's not a child.
No, but you can take, please.
But I'll take him off your hands.
Yes.
And
how long?
For the night.
The night?
Yeah, just for the night. Oh. So what would you do with this? Are you going anywhere special to eat?
I have sex in my home house.
You have sex in your own house?
Yes.
Anyone particular? Oh no, actually, don't say that.
Well, I've got a list. It's none of your business.
She's got a list.
I've got a list. Always have a backup.
She's got it. She's got a little black book. And okay, so you just have sex at home?
Yeah, because sometimes it's there, and you know, you need to sneak someone in, and sometimes. Last time I put a knot on my bedroom door, I said, do not open my door.
Right.
And the next day, it's like, oh, well, there's someone with you. Say, yeah, you have sex in my home. I will have sex in my own home.
Does he have sex?
He pretend he doesn't, but come on.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
you think he's sneaking people home?
Well, sometimes there's a girl, and she's staying overnight. And I'm like, yeah, right. Like, nothing's going to happen, please.
But he'll say to you, oh, she's just sleeping over.
Yeah, yeah.
We weren't born yesterday.
Exactly, thank you very much.
But he thinks he's the second coming, so he thinks he can do what he likes.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. He could say, I've been resurrected, ma'am, so yeah. Shut up.
Oh, that might be his chat up line. Right, thank you, Ariel, so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's been lovely to have you. The rain is stopping for you, I think,
that's
now.
That's nice. My voice sounds so good on radio. I mean, I don't know.
It does. It sounds really
because
good.
When I hear it without the headphone, my voice is not that good, but I love my voice right now.
We'll leave you recording, just talking away. I know what you mean. That's why I like the headphones, because it sounds better, doesn't it? Thank you so much. Please keep downloading, subscribing, and listening to the Funny Mummies podcast. Let's end on some Martha Reeves, I think. Thanks very much for listening, and we'll be back soon.
See ya.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Funny Mummies podcast with me, Hattie Ashdown. Thank you to my panel and guests today. Edited and produced by Scott Kingsnorth in association with Screaming of Laughter, the lunchtime comedy club where babies can come too. These shows go out live on Soho Radio for the Other Woman show. See schedule for details. Please subscribe, rate and review and share this podcast. We really appreciate it, and it's the only way more people can find us. So see you next time for more Mum and Tonic.